Welcome to episode 260 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Lindsay, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Donna, George, and Elizabeth. Star Wars fans everywhere have been eagerly awaiting the opening of Galaxy's Edge in both Disneyland and Hollywood Studios and Walt Disney World. As of the recording of this show, both parks are open with one of the rides, Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. Recently, several of us got a chance to check it out when we were in town for a conference because, you know, it's research. We're here to tell you all about it, so let's get started. So, George, I know you're probably, like, the biggest Star Wars fan.
In the room?
Yeah, I'm a pretty big fan. I can say that there's not too many of us that actually saw the original Star Wars in the theater.
So, I did.
Yeah. Did you?
I wasn't nice. Old enough.
Yeah, that's what most people say, but I'm in that club, so no problem.
So what was your first impression?
So going into, before we even got there, and I had heard basically all about what the land was going to be, honestly, for me, I didn't expect to be super impressed. So I didn't have real high expectations when I went. For, I guess, those of us that are older and experienced, episodes 4, 5, and 6, that was Star Wars for us. The 3 new episodes are great, or 2 and almost a third. But, yeah, but for us,
and then the little original half one with the with Rogue One.
Yeah. For those us, I guess you would call us original Star Wars fans, Luke, Leia, Han, Chewie, R2, those were the characters we grew up with, the ones we got to know, and the ones personally I wanted to really see in the park. So I got exactly what I expected to get, and I guess we could go into detail a little bit more about what I thought was lacking and what I did actually like about it.
What I've been hearing a lot of feedback from other Uber fans is that because it's a whole brand new world, it doesn't have as many of those, maybe those familial touches that you'd like. You must have liked the antique shop with all of the...
I did, and that was cool with some of the old school props hanging on the wall. Yeah, I spent a bunch of time in Doc Ondar's. And yeah, I bought one of the legacy lightsabers because the new build them your own, while cool, just wasn't my Star Wars. So I wanted one from the original set. So I really did like the land. You walked in it and it felt like you were walking into Star Wars, but you weren't walking into my Star Wars. I wanted to go to Tatooine or Hoth or Dagobah or Bespin or one of the other places that was in the film. And I think for me, that's where Harry Potter nailed it. Cause when you walk into Diagon Alley, it's like walking into the movie. And when you walk into Galaxy's Edge, it's not. It's a Star Wars land that you've never visited. So it just doesn't have quite that same feeling for me.
Well, maybe they were hinting about the new one that's coming out in December.
Maybe it's foreshadowing.
That could be.
I think they said that they tried to make it, and, you know, there are fans who could correct me on this if I'm wrong, but they purposefully chose a place that didn't exist so that the super fans couldn't pick it apart, you know, by saying, oh, well, this isn't. Because as George well knows, super fans would be able to tell you, you know, if R2-D2's lights were on wrong. You know, that's the thing. Yep. So it's a real thing. And so you actually are avoiding that criticism by giving, you know, it's brand new. So it's okay if it doesn't look like what you've seen, as long as it looks like it belongs in the universe. And it's legitimate. I mean, knowing a lot of super fans, I can see why they did it. I also see, George, I see your perspective where you still want to see it. That's what you really want.
That level of criticism is kind of funny, because if you have a modern TV or a Blu-ray player or an heaven forbid, or what is the new, the 4K, and you watch the originals, you can see the duct tape.
Yeah. Yeah, they were great for their time, but yeah, compared to what you're getting now, they can't compare.
Another problem
another problem is like which timeline would they do?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So you can put the Millennium Falcon in there because it can be any time, you know, but you can't really put like young Anakin or, you know, like if something's going to be out of time and you don't want to see like young Anakin with like Poe or, you know, something like that. So,
no, but you could do pod races because pod races are, you know, those keep going on and on and on just because Anakin wasn't driving the pod race when you were on it.
Well, except for the pod races weren't in the movies that George is talking about. So,
well, that's true.
Oh, so, yeah. I mean, that is from the new
and you can
universe.
Pod race in Star Wars.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that is true. So let's get into a little bit of the meat of this. So did anybody like go for the extra hours? I don't remember what time we got there that one day, but I don't think we were there. We weren't there at 6 a.m.
We left the hotel at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
Because the crowds were not.
And the old, because the original intention was to go at 6 a.m. and be there at 6 a.m. because of my fear of crowds. I was like, this is the only way I'm going to be able to do it. But after hearing all the reports and actually after Lindsay, you had been there.
Yeah, it was just walk on everything.
In the afternoon. And so I was like, you know what? I don't need to get up that early for this. Let's just go ahead. I can wait in line for a little while. I just didn't want shoulder to shoulder crowds. So.
Now, that being said, even though it wasn't crowded, I had read somewhere and if I'm wrong, someone please correct me, but I had read somewhere that you still couldn't get same day appointments for like the lightsaber stuff. Is that still?
Well, the cantina is only, no, you're right.
Well, Lindsay walked in. Right?
Ogres, we didn't walk in. We made a reservation like the night before.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there was no line. There was pretty much no line.
So our reservation was at what, 9:30? 9:35? And there was a guy in front of us who said, well, my reservation's a low crowd. I mean, these crowds are way lower than they anticipated.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, he was buying everything for these enormous crowds. I won't say they just said okay, but they did say,
well, I did just see yesterday about crowds have increased in Disneyland, but that's the holiday season, and the holiday season's coming up. So I think we're going to see an increase in the crowds between, you know, October, November, December, and usual. And it'll be interesting to see what happens after December when the next ride opens and see if things like level out.
And that's the rumor, is that that's why the crowds are staying away, that most of them plan next year anyway, because
they want to make sure
it's all open.
They want I can see all the Uber fans be like, nope, everything has to be open.
Well, I mean, for some people, a lot of people, they don't go all the time.
So yeah.
I really see that, you know?
Yeah, we do have a view of privilege on this for sure, that we're able to go so often, but you're right. It might be a one shot for people and they want to make sure they get everything open. And then there might even be people that might be waiting even farther because now we have more things that will be opening up soon.
Yeah, because the hotel's supposed to be coming in, what, 2021?
Yeah, maybe. They haven't given
They never give out the date, but I mean, there's a rumor.
Yeah, they've broken ground on it. You can see it from space, but because, you know, I was just up in space and I was looking, but you can see that the footprint is there, but I mean, what, Disney Cruise Line, they've already started building that ship and it's not coming out until 2022, right? So maybe they haven't started building it yet. But still, yeah, I don't know that it's going to be ready by 2021. But if 2021, it'll be later in 2021.
I haven't heard that was full, actually.
No, they have not said anything about it.
No. So right now, we don't even have like a firm date in December for the Rise of the Resistance, do we? Well, Disney World is just December.
Isn't it December 5th?
December 5th is Walt's birthday. In January at Disneyland.
Yep.
Yeah. 17th. I think it's kind of neat how they're doing it in reverse because they opened Smuggler's Run earlier in Disneyland.
Yep. Yeah. And I don't know if that's a crowd thing or why.
So for Disneyland, it was pretty obvious they were trying to control the crowds.
Yeah.
And I think Disneyland is always so busy in December anyway, that I think that's probably a smart move on their part to wait for the launch of that until January, because they don't have any problem filling those parks in December.
And I do think that crowds will pick up for this. I think that this is sort of a weird, I mean, I think that it almost overhyped itself. And because Disney originally said late fall of 2019, all of us travel professionals were saying, I would wait. I mean, like the earliest I would book if you want to experience Star Wars is December of 19. So I know a lot of people were waiting till 2020 to book for Star Wars. The people who were going at the end of this year were basically going to avoid Star Wars.
Damn, surprise, it opened.
There were hurricanes. You know, there was a hurricane opening weekend. And September is traditionally a little slower. I mean, even Magic Kingdom was walk-on when we were there. So
I think the week we were there, we actually benefited from Dorian that didn't actually come through, because I know on the travel agent boards, there were tons of clients rescheduling that week to avoid that, just in case it came. And when we got there on Saturday, my plan was to go to Animal Kingdom during the day, dinner, then back to Animal Kingdom at night, but sitting at dinner, looking at the My Disney Experience app and seeing a 20-minute wait for Smuggler's Run. I'm thinking it's only going to get worse as the next week comes and more people show up again. So yeah, we ended up going that night and there was nobody in that land.
So I got in on Tuesday the 10th and I looked at the app really, because I got in super early in the morning and I looked at the app and it was pretty much like 15, 20 minutes. It was like a walk on for Smuggler's Run. And I was like, oh, if I wasn't so tired, I would go. I would go do this. And I thought I'd be kicking myself, but then it was still slow the next couple of days. It didn't really pick up until, and it didn't even, when it picked up, it didn't even pick up. I think the longest wait we had was posted 75, but it was really only 45 minutes.
I don't even know if it was that 40, long.
Well, maybe it was a 30. I don't even remember.
I checked today when I was writing the show notes, and I guess it was probably around 3 o'clock when I looked. There was like an 85 minute posted wait for a Smuggler's Run, but the wait for Flight of Passage was like 120 minutes.
Yeah.
And
And Slinky Dog's even been holding its own too, because I think both Slinky Dog and Flight of Passage.
That was longer.
But, you know, I think some of that too is the queue itself. I think the ride just has a better capacity the way that they move people through. Yeah. Because, you know, when you're in that room. So let's go ahead and talk about, well, actually, I want to ask George a question before we talk about Smuggler's Run, because this is one that I'm hoping George actually liked, because it is classic Star Wars. But were you even intending to go, George, during this trip, or were you going to stay away because of the crowds?
When I first booked it, I was initially hoping it wasn't going to be open, because I really wanted to avoid the crowds one last time, because like everyone, I assumed that once it did open, all the parks were going to be a madhouse for months and months. Is that what you were asking?
Yeah. So it was once you got there that you decided, when you saw the lines were short, that you decided that you would actually just go in and see it, right?
Yeah. I actually had scheduled, I think, Wednesday that week for Galaxy's Edge. And when I saw that the times were so short, I figured, let's go do it tonight and at least see it at night. And then we actually did go back again. I think it was Wednesday morning before we went over to Universal and saw it again during the day. And I can't say that it was all that much busier Wednesday morning.
Yeah, well, we just passed you because we were there in the morning and left around 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
But Lindsay, I think you left about that same time too.
Right? I left around the same time. Yeah. Right. So did you, George, you drank at Oga's too, right?
I did not. I actually didn't do the cantina or the, okay, here's the thing with the cantina. If it was the Tatooine cantina with the original cantina band playing that one song, you wouldn't have kept me away.
That's what I thought it was going to be.
The DJ Rex thing did absolutely nothing for me. The fact that you had to make a reservation, they were kind of hard to get. The drinks were expensive. You couldn't stay very long. I just decided it wasn't worth my time, and I knew all you guys were going, so I could
pick your brains. They were honestly so expensive. That was like, I really wanted that the beer flight, but I wasn't going to pay $85.
Yeah,
I will eventually do that because I want the teeth and the
it's really cool.
But
the ranker teeth.
I couldn't do it this trip because I had no space in my luggage because I had to.
Maybe if I get Josh to go with, because I think he would like that, but I just wanted to try all the beer. I didn't want to, that was one of the things. You could, some of the drinks, you didn't have to buy the mug, like the, I forget what it was called, but whatever was in the Ewok sipper, you could get that drink without buying the mug, which I thought was kind of great that you could do that. And I think I had about six different drinks there.
All,
over a few visits.
What? It was like over two visits. So, well, that was the thing too, is like my first visit there was not a normal visit because they totally didn't kick us out after the two drinks because there was nobody there. And I think that's a conditional as to crowd level rule.
That is something to know. Where you get seated is where you get seated. Sandy kept trying to move us over that table. I'm like, Sandy, you can't just move tables.
I kept trying to sit with people. Yeah. They stuck us at the bar standing up.
Right. And then, and that was the thing, is the people, they seated somebody else with those people. So it's not like those people had the table all to themselves.
And I got to say, like, the servers in there, like, how they stay in character is so good. There was a girl at our table that tried to order a skinny tauntaun, a skinny version of the tauntaun. Now, all these drinks are pre-mixed. So you are getting whatever you're getting, and that's what you're getting. There's no exception. They don't have a liquor cart back there. There's nothing for them to pour for you separate. And the lady goes, you're on the wrong planet for that. So, and I do like how they subtly, when they finally did, when, you know, after we'd had like four drinks, and they finally did, they just kept reseating people at the table. So even though the table was full, they'd bring other people over to sit is like a hint. So the people who had been like sitting there the longest, which they must have been there before we got there, were like, oh, okay, yeah, we've been here for quite a while. It's time to leave now. And they left. But it was really great how they did that. I'm a little disappointed because I remember reading something about stormtroopers coming and getting you and making you leave. And I was kind of hoping that would happen. But
yeah, no, well, we didn't even get kicked out. So no. We left our own accord. We had to do,
I don't think we were there.
We weren't there very long, and we only had the minimum or the maximum amount of drinks when we were there. But so what did you guys think of the drinks? I mean, I thought they were okay, but not like for that price. I don't think it's not like Trader Sam's where I'd go back again for the drink or to.
So
you
know. I had the Bloody Rancor, which was like a Bloody Mary, because it was 9:30 in the morning. It was really good. I liked it. I mean, and then we were with somebody who bought our round of drinks, so I don't even know what it cost, honestly. So that was really nice of her.
That was very nice of her. Thank you, Brandy.
I think they were interesting. I am never a fan of pre-mixed drinks. Yeah. Well, I should say never. Sometimes they're fine, but that's not my preferred. You know, I love a good craft cocktail. I like to watch them make it. You know, I will very rarely order the thing in the vat. The only reason I'll order the thing in the vat is because it's so cool looking. And even then, I probably won't feel good after I drink it. They're just so high in sugar. And I have a sweet tooth. But so with that said, I mean, they had green drinks. They had red drinks. They had bubbly drinks. They had frothy drinks. They had all the things that I expected. And I think that's part of the appeal of that beer flight. Yeah. The beer flight is served in a wooden plank with teeth. The cups are like teeth. And you take that home, the plank and the teeth, which is why it's so expensive. Yeah. You take it home whether you want to or not. There's no option to buy the beer flight and not take home.
Yeah. I think I had, what did I have? I had the Fuzzy Tauntaun, the Beast Spin Fizz. I had two of those. And I had something else the first time. I can't remember what it was. But I think my favorite two drinks there, I did like the Bloody, the Rancor.
Yeah.
The Bloody Rancor. But I really like that the Fuzzy Tauntaun does make your lips numb. But the Beast Spin Fizz or whatever it was, it had that dry ice special effect in it. So it bubbled and you couldn't sit it down because it would move. And it might tip over. But that was really good. That was probably the best tasting of all the drinks.
I think it's Bespin, by the way.
Bespin. I'm sorry. Bespin.
So,
and I would be very disappointed.
I know. I just failed. So did anybody, I know we ate there a couple times, Sandy. What did we, I don't remember what we ate, Sandy.
I had like a salad. It was almost like a power meal. And I think it had quinoa and kale salad. And in that like chow hall type place. Same place we ate.
Yeah.
Which was funny because when I ate there for lunch with Lindsay, they had those sporks, and then when we went back the next
sporks. The gone. Next day,
those sporks. I'm like, oh, this is why we can't have nice things. I
people probably took them. That's probably why they couldn't have. But I remember thinking it was weird trying to eat. I think I had the ribs or whatever the rib thing was. Trying to eat that with that spork was a little awkward and strange. And that's probably enough. People probably said something about it.
Was that at Docking Bay 7 or Ronto Roasters?
That was at Docking Bay 7. Now, okay. Ronto Roasters, I had the breakfast thing there that was really good, the little wrap.
I've heard that's great.
It's really good. I was very impressed. I thought it was going to be a little lame, but it was quick and it was right there and I was hungry, but it was pretty tasty.
We had the breakfast at Docking Bay, and it was eggs, cheesy eggs and potatoes, but it was like the eggs were formed into a little like disc, and then the potatoes were purple. Yeah, they're purple potatoes. So they sort of went to some trouble to make it all look exotic, even though it was basically, you know, bacon and eggs. Yeah.
So I didn't care for the milk. We tried the milk without alcohol, though.
So I liked your milk better. What were the flavors? There was one, I had like the lavendery one, and I didn't love it.
Yeah.
I've heard the green milk is the best, but I haven't had it.
I think the green is the citrus one.
And the blue is the...
It's more of a flowery type flavor.
I didn't care for either one of them.
I don't know. Maybe we should have put the liquor in it.
We probably would have felt a lot different about one. Had one mixed with rum and one mixed with tequila, wasn't it? Or
yep.
Yeah. I can remember that. I can't remember what they were called, but got that liquor down.
Getting these crazy ideas, because I actually just found out that a friend of mine who is turning 50 next year, which I knew she was turning 50, has decided to have her birthday party during Food and Wine. Ooh. at Disney next year. And I'm going, and I'm like, oh, all these drinks to try that I haven't even tried yet. I'm so excited. So maybe we'll drink around Galaxy's Edge instead of drinking around the world. Really. Yeah.
You could totally drink around Hollywood
too. Yep. Oh, yeah.
I love drinking at Hollywood Studios. Although I just like drinking at the Tune In Lounge.
Yes, that is one of my favorite bars in the world. Love it. Now, and I will say, back to the cantina before we move on, the bartenders there were fantastic.
Yes, they were very good.
I mean, they stayed busy, but they were attentive. I didn't feel like I had to wave anybody down at any point.
I thought the theming was great.
Yeah.
I liked it.
So even though, you know, George, you might try to give it a shot at some point. Sorry, that was me. Pardon me. Give it a shot sometime just to take in the atmosphere and try not to think too much about the fact that the band isn't there.
Yeah. They do play music.
You play the song. Yeah. I mean, if you listen to the whole play, you play the song. So
we'll be there next year. So I will give it a try in California.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did anybody do so you made a lightsaber or not, you bought a lightsaber. Did anyone, was anybody in anybody's party that made the droid or the lightsaber?
No, we didn't.
I did go into the droid shop because that's the only place that you can get the special gift card with the coin.
Mm-hmm. So and, talk about that, that's-
okay. So you have to put a minimum of $100 on it. But it is pretty much the coolest gift card I've ever gotten at Disney. It's pretty heavy, heavy little coin. And then I'll send you a picture of it, George. It's a heavy little coin with a symbol on it. And it comes attached to a card, like a brown paper stock card. But you can remove the coin. And it was like the biggest hit around the Food and Wine Festival. All the people at the kiosk were like, that's one of those gift cards from Galaxy's Edge. So yeah, but it's nice. It's got some weight to it, so I didn't feel like I was going to lose it having it in my pocket.
Nice.
And it's a souvenir.
I think it would be really cool if they punched a hole in it and put it on a key ring.
Maybe they'll listen to this podcast and do that.
Maybe. So, you know, because I'm sure that's what they're doing.
It's cool to pull it out like it's a coin of currency, where you are. So that's pretty cool, too. Yeah. So the audience can't see our video as we are looking at each other, but George just brought out that lightsaber that he bought, and it's pretty badass. I mean, it looks really good. And I think that's one of the best things. Can you turn it on again? I'm sorry, everybody's like, I want to see it. One of the best things about them is they're really, when they light up, they're the most realistic lightsabers I've seen. I mean, it's still not an actual laser coming out of a handle, but it's really...
Oh, he made the noise.
He's glowing blue. And actually, you know what? They did have one kind of like
that.
Cool. Sharper image many, many, many years ago.
Oh, that's that is awesome.
Yeah. I didn't really sold. Sound effects sold, completely sold on that.
That's it. Take my money.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, if you have a Disney Visa, there is no discount on the hilt, even with the credit card. You don't get 10% off. It's full price.
Oh, I wonder if there's an annual pass holder discount.
When I asked, she said there were no discounts on the hilts anyway.
Okay.
No matter how you tried it. Yep.
And so with even your old school lightsaber, you got to choose which color lightsaber you put in the hilt?
No, the legacy sabers come in the color that they were in the movies. So yeah, Vader's is red. Luke's, this was actually Anakin's / Luke / Rey's, so it's blue. But the one that Luke built in A New Hope actually, or I'm sorry, Return of the Jedi was green.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah. So whatever they were in the movies, that's the color. You can't change them. They don't have the crystals in them.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. That totally makes sense.
So do you mind if I ask you how much it was?
Nope. The hilt was $129 or $139. They've changed prices. They've already gone up since the initial release date.
Wow.
And then the sabers, the actual plastic piece that attaches to the hilt, they come in a 2 foot and a 3 foot version, and I think they were another 50 or 60. So
wait.
Yes.
So you could buy the hilt without the saber part?
Yes.
Yeah, if you just want it, because then you could carry it around like it was, you know, on your belt. You're not using it.
Interesting.
Yep. Yeah. Saber's one piece, the hilt. So you really only have to buy one blade if you buy multiple hilts, and as long as you don't want to use them all at the same time.
Yeah.
Wow. So okay. Whenever I took my teenagers and their friends last summer, one of the kids did the build a lightsaber thing outside of when they come out of Star Tours. And he was like hitting everybody with that. And like, is this something that kids would buy and be like fighting with each other?
If you spend
not in a park.
No.
You can, supposedly.
The Connors fell apart within about an hour after he built
it. So the rule is you're not allowed to have it out of its bag in the parks.
Well, the,
but the bag cost $50. Oh, okay. Did you buy the bag too?
Yeah.
No, I didn't get the bag too.
Yeah, you can't take it out and start swinging it around in the parks. You're not allowed to have them out to play with.
Yeah, cast members will come over and talk to you about it and tell you that you need to keep it on the low down, that the stormtroopers are on the lookout.
Yeah.
That's a great experience for you.
It's nice but that they get into character with it.
I know. If you're dropping $200 on a saber, where else am I going to turn it on and wave it around?
I know, right?
In the land.
Did you do a picture with it while you were there?
I haven't yet, no.
That, you know, I think that at the same time, this is a collector's item, so parents are not generally going to hand these to their kids. The ones that you can make, you know, that you can make outside of Star Tours were the plastic ones that they use in the Jedi Training Academy, and you know, they're not.
Those are still pricey too.
Yeah, but they're not these. Yeah. I mean, that tube is like, that's way different.
Now,
I'd be afraid of breaking that.
George, did you have to make a reservation to get that one?
No, Doc Ondar's is basically a walk-in unless it's at capacity, and then they'll kind of hold you outside, and as people come out, they let more people in.
So here's a question for you. How did you get that? Did you carry that on the plane?
So luckily it's two pieces. So the when I bought it, I thought, oh, this will fit in the suitcase. No problem. Yeah, it's about a foot too long. So I ended up having it in the box, and because it's not a part of the building experience, the hilt comes in its own plastic case and the blade comes in a separate box. So it does fit in the overhead. I had no problem carrying them both onto the aircraft. TSA didn't bat an eye after they worked out the deal with Disney, because initially they were having issues getting them on the plane.
Well, you've got a laser lightsaber that can kill Kylo Ren, and TSA doesn't
I
care.
Guess not. And I also brought my thermal detonator Coke.
So you did get a thermal detonator?
I did.
Nice.
Did the Coke taste really special out of it, or did it just taste like Coke?
No, but it was a $6 Coke.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! And it's not that big. How many ounces is that? Like, it's probably.
13.5, so it's about a can.
Okay.
A little bit more than a can.
But it's in Arabesh, so, you know.
Yeah.
Every geek's got to have one.
It's cool.
What? I'm supposed to buy like that and the Diet Coke and the Sprite.
To get one. I don't like Diet Coke or Sprite. Or I would have.
That was the thing for this trip for me was I didn't have any packing space, so I couldn't buy very many souvenirs. I got little things for the family, but I couldn't bring much back.
So I do want to mention something that I read about the droids, and I don't know, I can't confirm this because I didn't actually see it happening while we were there, but I had read that the droids, you could get different chips for them, and different chips would interact with different things in the area, kind of like the wands at Harry Potter, that little things would happen. So did you guys witness any of that?
Nope. I didn't see any droids out of their little boxes.
Yeah. See, that's
so the they thing. Had a little backpack.
Carrying them in their, in the boxes. I don't think, did people know they interacted with stuff in the park? Maybe not.
I don't know. So I know that they had personality modules you could buy that gave each droid a different personality and they would act different. I don't know if you needed those to interact with the things in the park or not.
I would have liked to have seen at least one person with their droid out, like making something happen. And I don't know. And now, but here's now the thing is I have a friend on Facebook who made a droid and bought it. And now she's got the backpack and she was already talking about taking it back on her next trip. And I'm like, I just can't imagine. That's a big commitment to take back and forth across the country.
It's hard enough for us to take back wands. Yes, that's what I was thinking. I was like, oh, it's a new pal Mickey.
Yeah.
There should be like a rent-a-droid or something.
And how many people remember from when the Imagineers were talking about this land initially about how they were talking about having autonomous droids just kind of wandering around the land?
Oh, see, that's one thing I would have loved to see.
Still hasn't happened.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things still. I mean, even some of the, we weren't there that long, but the whole like sort of take on a persona and you can interact with the characters there. I didn't see that happening.
Well, we did see, we saw Rebel like hiding from the stormtroopers.
Yes. Yeah.
And the stormtroopers came up to, I guess it was me and Lindsay, to see, like, and were asking us if, and they told us we were weird because
we were suspicious behavior.
Yeah.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
If only they knew, Sandy.
I read an interesting blog of a couple that do a lot of cosplay, and they had came up with their own costumes and their whole character backstories, and some of the stuff they crafted was pretty cool.
Wow.
And they got the characters.
Well, they did. They got to the gate and the cast member said, you might be a little bit too authentic. So they had to go get someone, and then a manager came out and looked at their costumes and made them change a couple of things so that other guests wouldn't be confused that they were cast members.
Oh, wow.
But aside from that, that was the whole thing. It's kind of dress up and interact with us. And when some people did, it was a little too much.
Yeah. So one thing I didn't see is I remember reading about how your score or your performance flying the Millennium Falcon was going to haunt you and follow you around. And I didn't notice that at all, but I only got to be a pilot one time, and we actually did get two things of, so we did pretty good, but I didn't see any of that, like any way that was tracked or any way that was like.
The only thing, I had a couple of cast members ask me, like, how did you do driving the Millennium Falcon? Or I heard you drove the Millennium Falcon. And,
oh, really?
But it was very vague. And I was like, well, we got two. I don't know if that's good or not. And they're like, it's pretty good. So, and I guess that's the thing, too. I've only done it once. And so I figured it was an average run, but apparently you can really mess it up.
So what kind of a ride, I mean, they were very vague in the description. What kind of ride is the Millennium Falcon ride?
It's a motion simulator.
I think it's like a cross between Mission Space and Star Tours.
Yes, yeah. Very good. Yeah.
And really, to me, I would only ride it again if I was going to be a pilot.
Did you do the metal one, though?
I did all three of them. I did all three positions, and the gunner was kind of okay. Was better than the engineer. The engineer is just kind of sitting in the back, but you can really see better in the pilot seats.
Yeah.
You really actually it feels more like you're in the ride, and there's more to pay attention to, and you have more responsibility. I don't know if it's because you have more responsibility or whatever. It was just more engaging to me than the other positions. The gunner was okay, but there was really no, like, you couldn't tell if the buttons were actually, their buttons weren't doing anything. But like you said, with the pilot position, it almost felt like you could really mess that up.
You could tell.
Well, it's weird because I,
because when I went like this, we really did go like that. You know, like when you steer it, you were really.
I was the up and down one. I was the one who got to jump to light speed, which was super cool. I didn't feel like I was really controlling up and down. I felt like that was more.
I could tell I was the side to side one, and yeah. I could tell
too when I was trying to line up with the train, and I was like, oh well, this is really a job. This is really something. So.
Which one did you do? Which position?
Yeah, I got stuck being an engineer. Yeah. So you spend the majority of the ride staring at the wall opposite the screen, so you can't see what's going on, and you're really just pressing the buttons as they light up. It's like Simon.
Yeah,
that's a good way to put it, like Simon. So the one thing I will say is, like, if you do the single rider line, you can't choose where you go. But if you're in standby, you can ask to be a pilot, and you can wait for the next opportunity to come up. So if that's something you want to try and you haven't done it, or the something that you feel would add to the value of your ride, I would wait and ask. It's just going to be just like me on Soarin'. If it's not Concourse B, row one, I'm not doing it.
See, and that I will try to say this in the nicest possible way, but that annoys me because I never then get the, because I will not ask. I like the pleasure of serendipity. And so I now never ever get the good seats because there's always a line of people waiting for the good seats. And I'm like,
I've never seen a line.
But now I won't, because now everybody,
Elizabeth,
is the only positions that are good are the pilots. So now every time you get on that ride, the only way to be a pilot is to stand in line.
Well, that's not true. I'm going in a couple of weeks and I'm going to have a group of five because I have a bunch of teenagers again going with me. And I'm pretty sure we'll get our own thing. You know,
you're going to be mean and not let those kids have a pilot position?
I'm not like you, Lindsay. So we got the option to do the front row of Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. And I'm like, oh, cool. I don't really get to sit in the front row. And Lindsay's like, no, I've never sat in the front row.
I didn't even say no.
Yes, you did.
I did not say no. I said I've never sat in the front row. I didn't even say Owen and Ellie.
Put it out of the way.
So that is my
liar.
I know people who claim disability so that they get the middle seats and soaring.
Oh, what?
It makes.
How does that? How? I don't even know how that's a possibility.
I'll tell you later.
Okay. But here's the thing. Every time I've done it, there's never even usually a line. I'm usually like the first one down there, and usually it means that I'm waiting to the next ride. It's only inconveniencing me. I'm not bothering anybody else by doing it. And if I want to do it, that's fine. That's my prerogative. That's where I want to ride.
Absolutely. But I do think that a few more months, then you will never be able to be a pilot again unless you want to.
I don't agree with you on that, because look at these lines aren't that long, and most people just don't care. Literally, I don't think most of the people who were riding that, like, there was a lot of people who were on there that were just like,
yeah, because it's new and they don't.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying is, in a few months, when the whole world knows that the pilot seats are the only good seats on the ride, which of course I'm not actually saying because I've only been in the pilot seat. It was a really good
in
seat.
In a few months, the next ride's going to open up, and we know that's probably going to be better.
So here's what I think about the next ride. They better bring it. That next ride, because Millennium Falcon is an okay ride. Flight of Passage is still the best ride in the parks.
I really think the next one's going to be really, really good, and then Millennium Falcon's going to turn into like the Navi River.
I think a lot of the charm of the Millennium Falcon, well, is that it's the Millennium Falcon. I mean, I think it's the one part that's there for the Georges of the world who are like, I need something old school. And it definitely is old school. I mean, it definitely is the Millennium Falcon. There's no doubt about it. The props, the everything is very, you feel like Han Solo literally just walked off of it. So, which is a shame. But it's super cool. And the way that the queue works, everything, I think it's actually really well done. Again, I got to be a pilot and I got to be the pilot that jumped to light speed. So I totally won the lottery on my first, ride. But I will enjoy riding it again, because I do really think I think Disney has a commercial out right now where a little like 9-year-old girl looks at the Millennium Falcon. She's like, I've waited my whole life for this. Like, girl, you have no idea what you're talking about.
Stand in line.
Get behind all these 45-year-old men.
Exactly, or older. So, yeah, I think that actually, so George, did you feel, I mean, were you satisfied? I understand you had the cruddy seat, but with the concept as a whole.
Yeah. I actually enjoyed the queuing area with the chess table and the little alcove where Luke hung out, and they actually had the little hover ball that shot the lasers at him and the blast helmet he wore. So for me, that was really, I enjoyed that more than the actual ride itself.
Did anybody else play the game while you were in the queue, the app game?
No.
I did that a couple times and it was really good. I felt like it was more geared toward kids who actually play modern video games, because there are a lot of things, like the things I couldn't figure out right away. So,
a lot of buttons. I hate when there's a lot of buttons.
No, there's it's an app, but it had like the stats, and you know, once I figured out like how to play the games within the game that were like memorize your secret identity or whatever, I could do that, or find this crate or like the stuff like that. But the actual setup of, I don't know what you call it, but like the visual setup of the game on your phone, it reminds me of some of the games that my husband likes to play, like the where you're looking at your stats or you're looking at your whatever and your inventory or whatever. And this is, I mean, I'm still that generation of like my video game went from the left side of the screen to the right side of the screen. I'm like, I hopped over stuff.
I'm more than four buttons.
Got a flag and saved the princess. That was it. That was, but yeah, it was really cool, and I highly suggest doing that. It's a great way to kill time in lines, and I like that they have those games now. We were playing, like, you can play the trivia games, you can play them in all the lines. You don't even need to be in the line for some of them. I really like the trivia, and the one over in Slinky Dog. For the Slinky Dog line was pretty cool.
But Marcus and I did it a couple of times on our last trip, but we didn't, I didn't have a lot of time on this one to kill. I mean, we were chatting in the line for Smuggler's Run. So yeah, we passed time pretty quickly. And that was really, you know, I only rode Soren and Smuggler's Run this time.
For anybody who might be listening to this and might not know what we're talking about, I think it's called the Play Parks app,
Yeah.
Free to download. And there are all kinds of games throughout all four of the parks now. Yep,
triggered by location. So for some of them you can play anywhere, and then some of them are like, here's the game for the fan queue.
Yeah.
And I like that some of them were really interactive. They were meant to get you to play. Like there were some of them that Julie and I were playing where I had to hand the phone to Lindsay, and then you take a picture and then you decorate it. And it was really cute.
Cool. So I do think Rise of the Resistance, back to that, is going to, I mean, it's a 22-minute ride, they're saying, and it's a ride through with, so it almost sounds like maybe the Great Movie Ride. That's my guess. I don't know. But that same format where you're riding through and then there's live actors and then there'll be special effects as well. And that's my guess.
From what I heard, you're actually going to have to switch vehicles a couple of different times.
Oh, wow.
What?
So you'll start off as somewhere around, I think it was 16 people, and they will slowly segment the group into smaller groups as you're escorted to the detention center and some other stuff. So, yeah, it's supposed to be amazing from what I've heard. Yeah.
That sounds really cool.
Anything about it, other than like the stock photo I saw.
Yeah.
Like the big
AT-ATs.
Yeah.
Or AT-ATs. Anyway.
Did anyone else do that special photo op? We never did find that aerial view one, Sandy.
I think it's right by the entrance to the park. I think I've seen somebody else's picture. I didn't do any of those because I didn't have memory makers.
We missed it, but I'll look for it when I go down in a couple weeks.
We had a couple cute pictures from there, but yeah, we missed the aerial view one.
They do the one, like, so you can stand in a queue and there's a photo pass person out in front of the Millennium Falcon, and do you remember the people behind us?
Oh my god, yeah, that
wandering through the photos, just kind of do anyway, but these people were...
It was obvious. It was obvious there was a line there. It was obvious everyone was waiting to get their picture taken of the Millennium Falcon. And these people were just like mindless. And that lady she looked right at the camera while she's pushing her stroller behind these people getting their picture. Like, just like, da-da-da. And it's not even a walkway. it's kind of an out of the way area where that picture is. So it was, it was such a crazy thing.
And then they started taking selfies.
Anyway, that was our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us. We would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on OutlanderTravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Sandy, Elizabeth, George, Donna, and myself, Lindsay, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.